So just before we come round communion, just want to just share just some thoughts today. Just talking about the love of God manifested in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus. And I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. And if you have a Bible, turn to it. Just want to welcome all those guys that are watching online as well. Welcome. 1 John 4. Reading from this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He loved us first. And I want to encourage you, I had here Isaiah 52 and 53, but I just thought there was a lot of verses in Isaiah 52 and 53 all about Jesus. And I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, I want to inspire you to make some space this week and just read through Isaiah 52 and 53 and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to you. One of the things that I've been going through in my own devotional life is Isaiah, one of the books that I always avoided. I mean, 66 chapters, how you get through Isaiah. But you know, as I've been just meditating and just going through Isaiah, I have just sensed God just revealing Jesus more and more and more. And you know, there are some mornings I'm just like, God, I can't take any more. Just of your blessing and just what you're showing me through these verses. So I want to encourage you, take two chapters, 52 and 53, and go through it. There. What is it that you need to hear this morning? That is my question. Do you know, that's the question I ask myself. God, what do I need to hear this morning? Because we all need to hear, yes, the word of God. But I believe God has something specifically that he wants to speak into our lives this morning. The word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It teaches, it rebukes, it corrects, it teaches. Oh, thank God for his word. Yeah. Is there anyone else alive in here? Do you know, you'll discover in Isaiah, and you know, sometimes this goes against our theology, that it was God's will, it was his purpose to crush Jesus. Do you know, many of us would go, well, if I look at like my children, there would be no way on this earth I would want any harm to come to my kids. But yet here it says it was God's will and purpose to crush him and bring grief on Jesus. God loved us so much. God does love us very much. And you know, God's love is not like our human love. Because as soon as you stop or do something wrong to me or whatever, my love for you will stop. That's the way the world is. As long as you're benefiting me, then I'll continue to love you. But what happens when it goes haywire? Do you know, and again, our love dwindles, doesn't it? Do you know, is there days you ever feel, is it just me? You have to pray, God, would you give me love for that person? Present company accepted. Never happens with us wonderful people. God is love. God is love. And you know, many people today are looking for love. Are you looking for love? You've come to the right place. Because God is love. Many people out there in our world looking for love, looking for purpose, looking for satisfaction, looking in all the wrong places, but God is love. And real love can only be found in Him. And God loved us. The greatest expression of God's love was sending His one and only Son, Jesus. Do you know the wrath of God? None of us like to talk about the wrath of God. There is a word there, propitiation. I mean, there's a big word. Do you know, starting off in my Christian life, I'm going, what on earth is that word? Do you know, that word to appease a God, to appease His anger. Do you know, as idolatry worship it was, if there was a drought, to appease the anger of the gods, maybe holding back the sun or whatever it was they would try and give to appease. Do you know, the wrath of God was on sin, not on people, on sin. And we couldn't pay the price for that sin. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. All have sinned. All have sinned apart from. All have sinned. Jesus bore the punishment for our sin. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. Do you know, again, in our lives, we categorize sin, don't we? Big sin, little sin. Big sin, little sin. Big sin, little sin. Cardboard box. Big sin, little sin. Sin is sin. I have to try and make you smile because this is... It does get better. God made Him who had no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God, that we would have that right relationship before God. When God looks at our life because of what Jesus has done, He sees us as righteous, robes of righteousness. There is still a sanctification process. Anyone here the finished product? I see that hand. Anyone here the finished product? No, we are all in a process. We have been saved. We are being saved. And we will be saved. Salvation is like, I always liken it, I did it as an illustration one Christmas, like a gift box. You know, that box, salvation, but when you open that box, there is so much about salvation that is there to bless our lives. Are you blessed this morning? I am blessed. Jesus died that we might live. That we might live. That we might live. Live life to the full. Do you know, again, how many of us can say we're living life to the full? But Jesus, that was His intention, that we would live our lives to the full. Not out there thinking we're living life, parties and whatever, but you know there is a purpose, there is a blessing, there is just that knowing. Do you know, Annette and I actually think we are near there because we are just, we feel we are just in the center of God's will. We just love what God is doing in us and through us. We just love being in this place. Is it still difficult? Of course it is. But we just know, God, we are where You want us. And we feel we're living the life. Pastoring you guys, that, for us, that is living the life. That is what God has purposed us for. And so, to live, to live. I'm just going to look at quickly three areas about living, and then we're going to come round the communion table. Right there in verse 9 of what we have just read, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. That we will live through him. You know, living through him, many of us are trying to live life in our own strength. Do you know, but I have been crucified with Christ. If you're a believer here, we have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live through Jesus Christ. Peter talks about God giving us everything that we need to live our Christian life. Do you know, the days when you say, God, this is just too hard. God, I can't do it. And God would be saying, well, stop trying to do it in your own strength. Do it in my strength. I in Christ, Christ in me. Amen?
Amen.
Christ has called us to live not just through him, but for him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 to 15 says, either way, Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Have you got an old life? If you're in Christ, it's dead. You know, just think about that. Because many of us are being haunted by our old life. Many of us feel that our old life is chasing after us. Many of us have memories of our old life. And you know, sometimes that is always just at the forefront of our minds. But you know, you are a new creation. Come on, tell someone beside you, I am a new creation. Come on, you have to. Come on, you need to tell them again, you have to believe this. Those online, you are a new creation. Our old life is gone. The new life has come. Anyone want to become a Christian today, now? He died for everyone so that they who receive his new life, here it is. Are you ready? Put your seatbelt on, strap yourself in. Will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ. Oops, I'll take that back. Living for Christ, no longer living for ourselves. No longer living for ourselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Christ's love is what compels us. You know, when we are full of Christ's love, I believe there'll come a compelling. You know, you will walk by your neighbor and you will be compelled to act. You will walk through that city and you will see some broken people and you will be compelled to act. Is there days when we walk through the city and we see broken people and we just walk on by? I'm on my way to Mark's. Or in my case, pound stretcher. Annette's is a marked person. I'm them pounds stretcher. But you know, I really believe is why we so need to be asking God, God, I need your love. God, fill me with your love. Fill me with your love that I would be compelled. to love others. I will live for Christ. Is it true that there's days when I live for myself? Of course there is. Is there days when you live for yourself? Come on, be honest. What you want. But get into that place where we live for Christ. Live through him, live for him. And here is more good news. Can you take some more good news?
Yes.
We will live with him. Whoa. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-11. For God chose to save us through their Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour his anger on us. Wow. But Christ died for us so that whether we are alive or dead or alive when he returns, we will live with him forever. Some of you's never got that. Christ died for you. And whether you're dead or alive, when he returns, you will live with him forever.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Do you know there is people in your circle that need to be encouraged, that need to be built up, that need to be loved? Maybe you're here today and you're that person. We are called, I believe, to encourage each other in these difficult times. Do you know the days that we are living in? Utilities going up. Petrol and diesel is going up. Wars. Do you know the world is getting uncertain? Our politicians are trying to figure out how to steer us through these difficulties, but there's only one person, and that is God. He knows everything. He is still in control, and he is with us, and Jesus is coming back. And Jesus is coming back, which is why it is so important. Do you know, in my Bible, as I was reading Psalm 52 and 53, as I glanced over to the next page, just highlighted there, was these words: seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to God, for he will forgive generously. Do you know, I never sometimes like talking about the white elephant in the room, or the elephant in the room. Do you know, when God speaks to us and says, you know, the way that we live our lives, God sees. And God will challenge us on the way that we live our life. And for many, the silence from God about the way we're living our lives, we think he's fine with it, but he's not. I want to bring good messages. I want to give things that will make your ears tickle and make you laugh. I don't know why God put verses like these. Seek the Lord while you can find him. So there will come a day when Jesus will return. And it will be a shock for people. Do you know, even in our own lives, the thing that we are discovering, that life is short. Here one day, gone the next. And it is so important that we keep close to Jesus. That we seek him. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I'll listen to Stephen in a couple of weeks. And if it's a good sermon, then I might give my life to Christ. Seek the Lord while you can. Are you encouraged?
Yes.
Are you blessed?
Yes.
What do I want you to leave this house today with. I want you to leave this house knowing that you are loved by God. That He has a plan and He has a purpose for your life. I want you to leave this place today with the knowledge that your old life has gone and a new life has come and is available to you today. I want you to know today that your past is not your future. Your past is not your future. Don't let the enemy keep bringing up your past. When he does, just you point him to Jesus. Just say, go and speak to Jesus about that. Because Jesus has told me, I have a new life. And my past has gone. And the new has come. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. When we give our lives to Christ, when He becomes part of our life, that opens up just a whole new world of blessing in our life. And you know, I don't believe anyone, if you know Jesus today, can come and say to me, I am not blessed. I dare you. I dare you. We are blessed because of Jesus. Because God manifested His love in Christ Jesus. We're going to come round the communion table. We're going to celebrate just what Jesus has done.